Pablo Cruz, Don't Want to Live Without It. And before that, we heard September from Earth, Wind, and Fire. I know what the poster is all about in that Queen album. It's a bunch of fat-bottomed girls on bicycles for the songs Fat-Bottomed Girls and Bicycle Race that are on the new Queen album. I guess since I was so taken aback by that poster that came along with the album and was sort of surprised by it on the air, I should play Bicycle Race by Queen, which I will right after the news. And MacArthur Park has become a very, very big hit record for Donna Summer. You've probably been hearing that all over town. Let's not forget that the original was a classic, and I'll play that one for you in just a little while after the news with John Parsons.
It's 9 o'clock, and this is WPIX-FM in New York. A couple of people have been calling me up to ask me if it was true that I had seized the station this morning at 6 o'clock. I have to admit that I actually did that and barred Jim Kerr for a half hour just to play out one of my fantasies of being a DJ and running things. And the music I played this morning was my own choice. I described it as hot, but Jim said it was not what we normally do around here. Anyway, it was fun for a half hour or so. I'm back in here doing the news now and trying to check out what's going on. So if you were wondering what was going on, that's what it was. Parsons and Kerr has got everything under control again. There's a fire at St. Anthony's Catholic Church in Nanuet this morning. It's now under control. It started around 4:45. It burned the interior of the church. It's a great old church out there. And one of the firemen who was fighting that blaze was taken to the Nyack Hospital. He's reported to be in stable condition. The Nanuet fire chief said the fire started in the basement of the church, which is on Route 59, West Nyack Road. The exterior of the church has apparently remained standing because it is made of stone. No one was in the church at the time of the fire, and the fire chief there said that the cause for the fire has not been determined. New Rochelle police are holding, they'll be in arraignment at 11 o'clock this morning. They say they have solved the killing of country and western singer Linda Charlie Scott, who was found dead Friday in her home in New Rochelle. Charged with the slaying is Michael Spearman, a 21-year-old man who lived in the house with her and is described as her stage lighting man. He was arrested at 2:20 this morning after he allegedly admitted killing the singer after being questioned by New Rochelle detectives. A police spokesman in New Rochelle said he cited continuing problems between himself and his employer. They were fighting up there, apparently, and a baseball bat, which police believe is the murder weapon, has been recovered.
I think that the job of a broadcaster is to tell people broadcast journalists is to tell people what's going on. You have to find a way in which to communicate them, and that's what this is about. Since it's radio, the notion, it seems to me, is that you are talking to people, just as I'm talking to you right now, and it's a very personal thing, and you ought not to be announcing, you ought not to be formal, you ought to be direct and honest and truthful, and so I don't think that wire service copy, for example, which is written with a mentality that tends to lead toward newspaper thinking, is appropriate for people who are getting dressed in the morning, driving in cars, speeding off to work, who want to hear it direct, first person. I think you have to be personal, and to talk it to them rather than announce it to them or read it to them is better.
Does a relaxed format such as you have mean that a station is going to have relaxed reporting, informal reporting?
No, not at all. And that is what I guard against carefully. I see Reggie Jackson play baseball, and Reggie Jackson is very calm, and he's very low-key. He's a professional, and he does his job, and he knows what to do, and he knows how he has to take care of his business. And what I would like to see are reporters who are calm about what they do, but who know what they're doing, and who communicate because they're confident. I think that radio and television in particular, but radio as well, unmasks a reporter. I think a print reporter can hide what he knows and what he doesn't know behind some fancy writing. I think broadcasters, because your voice indicates something about what you're thinking and what you know, and in television, because your face clearly shows what you know and you don't know, you can tell the people who are confident, the people who have a grasp of the facts. There is no doubt that Walter Cronkite knows what he's talking about, and that's why he's effective. He communicates. So we're informal here, but we are not hip, disguising behind not knowing what we're talking about. I wouldn't stand for that.
Louis Lefkowitz, the Attorney General of the state, wants to investigate the Carvel Ice Cream Company and some of their practices. And yesterday, up in White Plains in court, the Carvel people argued that they were, quote, the Cadillac of the ice cream industry. And they have asked the state Supreme Court to quash Louis Lefkowitz's subpoena of its records. Carvel attorney Herbert Roth said Lefkowitz was seeking the secret formulas the company uses in preparing its ice cream and the price of its ingredients. To comply with the subpoena, he said, would be to give away key trade secrets. The justice up there has reserved decision on the motion. He didn't indicate when he would issue a ruling. Lefkowitz is investigating the possibility of fraud, restraint of trade, and illegal monopoly practices on the part of the Yonkers-based company. Nobody had anything to say about the radio and television ads. New violence reported.
What do you think generally of the, especially the radio reporting in New York? Is it as good as it could be?
Well, I don't know. I do not listen to every station in town. I don't know the work of every reporter. I think as a listener, a general listener through the years, I have felt shortchanged. I have felt that that I do not hear enough from people who actually see and experience events and then describe them to me. It seems to me that a lot of reporters who are called reporters are removed from events. And so I sort of thirst for people who have firsthand information. And so to the degree that I don't get that, I feel that we're not doing our job.
More than 900 bodies recovered from that American religious commune in Guyana are at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware, where relatives are going to identify them and take the remains home with them. It was a tragic, unbelievable story. Tony Russomanno, who works at KFSO in San Francisco, went there. He's back right now and is going to tell us a little bit about what he saw.
What can I tell you, John, except that it was the weirdest thing that ever happened to me. I've run out of adjectives trying to describe this story. I stayed in Guyana, in Georgetown, assembled the facts and the information of this monstrous event, trying to report it back here and make some sense of it. I've yet to understand why it occurred or what Reverend Jones' character was and what the character of the people were in his community who would follow him to their death, 900 people. It just doesn't make sense. One scene out of many, many scenes, just one scene, and I just wrote it down as it occurred. Saturday afternoon, two brothers described as insiders to the Jonestown ruling clique, sitting in the middle of the open-air veranda of the seedy turn-of-the-century hotel. They're telling of surviving these mass suicides, mass murders, by being ordered by the woman who served as treasurer of People's Temple and mistress to Reverend Jones to help deliver a suitcase. And the suitcase was loaded with $500,000 cash and a sealed letter addressed to the embassy of the Soviet Union. Strange. As they told their story, a survivor and a refugee from Jonestown, natural enemies now, circling around each other. Picture the scene, circling around each other, circling around me, talking to these two brothers. With each of these two guys, the survivor and the refugee, appealing for protection to a huge, disinterested black Guyanese guard who happened to be wearing this incredibly large Star of David medallion. Now, on one side of the veranda, two dozen 9-year-old ballerinas in leotards danced to classical recordings, and across the room, a benefit party for a local leprosy foundation was being entertained by a steel band playing jingle bells in 90-degree heat.
Tony, if you had written that for Hollywood, they wouldn't buy it. It's incredible.